From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. E-cigarettes hit the market as an aid to quit smoking. Now the CDC reports that more than 9 million American adults vape regularly, and a new Georgia State University report finds that a year into vaping, 90% of people continue to smoke traditional cigarettes. Public health advocates are also concerned that juuling is on the rise among high school and college students. Juul is a brand of e-cigs that some advocate and fear could be an on-ramp to nicotine addiction. We're going to talk today about this study with Michael Erickson, Dean from the School of Public Health at Georgia State, which conducted the study. Michael, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Also on the line is Amy Barkley. She's a regional advocate for the Tobacco-Free Kids Campaign. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you, Virginia.
Now, the first electronic cigarette came onto the United States market 2007 about, and here's Catherine Hagel on the David Letterman show explaining to him what a vape pen is.
Wait a minute, what was that?
It's water vapor.
Really?
I'm essentially humidifying the space.
Is that how it works, Michael? Water vapor?
Well, hardly. The most important thing to understand is that these products, these e-cigarettes, are safer than smoking, but they're not safe in their own right. They do have hazards and risks associated with them, but it's better to use them than to smoke.
So they were originally marketed as a tool for quitting. What did your study find?
Well, technically, they can't be marketed that way by the FDA requires evidence to show that they're actually effective to be marketed as a smoking cessation device. But what our study showed, and we were quite surprised by it, is that people who were smoking and vaping a year ago, after a year of that, 90% were still smoking. Some of them gave up vaping. Some of them continued to vape and smoke, but the vast majority were still smoking, which is not the goal of e-cigarettes. It's really to help people quit smoking. But part of the problem is that can't be advertised or stated because it would be a type of health claim.
So there are FDA regulations for vape cigarettes or e-cigarettes?
They're in the works. When the law was passed in 2009, giving FDA authority to regulate tobacco products, e-cigarettes didn't exist, basically, and were not included by name in the law. So FDA had to obtain authority to regulate e-cigarettes, and that was called deeming. They got the deeming authority from the government to do e-cigarettes, and they are in the process now of regulating these products. And companies are asking for permission to make health claims, but they have not been forthcoming yet from the FDA.
Okay, so there have been some studies, however. A 2015 study by Harvard talked about e-cigarettes having a link to popcorn lung. This has been challenged. What's the thinking on this now? And what exactly is popcorn lung?
Popcorn lung is actually a condition that's associated with workers in plants that make packaged popcorn that you put in the microwave, and that there's a certain chemical in that process, then the workers were exposed to that industrially at the manufacturing line, and they got a lung disorder from it. There have been some concerns that chemical has been seen in e-cigarettes, but that's one of the red herrings, so to speak, that there are rare events that are picked up, and then it scares people away from trying e-cigarettes. But it also, people need to remember they are not safe. They do have risks. Popcorn lung isn't one of the major risks, but it is gets across the idea that people need to be cognizant, but the real goal being to quit smoking, however that can be done.
So, Amy, vaping marketed as a tool for quitting smoking. We're hearing from Michael that study says that 90% of people keep up with both. But is that why people are picking up? Do you have a sense? Picking up vapes, rather?
Well, I do think that people perceive, you know, that they are safer. And as Dr. Erickson has pointed out, they are less harmful than cigarette smoke. But certainly, currently, even though the FDA, as Dr. Erickson pointed out, has the authority and to regulate e-cigarettes and has deemed them tobacco products, so they should be being regulated as other tobacco products are, they've actually delayed implementation of some of the rules. So there are a lot of products, including Juul, out on the market that really shouldn't be on the market under current FDA rules. They really aren't supposed to be marketing products that haven't been subject to some kind of review by FDA, new products that aren't substantially equivalent to products that are already out there on the market. So I think people do think it's safer. I do think it's very disturbing, the study that that Dr. Erickson and others did at Georgia State, that people aren't quitting necessarily in many cases. So I think it is that people want to possibly try something safer, but then often it's because people want to sort of evade the smoke-free laws that we have all over the country. You can't really smoke cigarettes in many places, workplaces and public places. Some states and cities have not caught up with the e-cigarette trend, and so e-cigarette use is allowed indoors in some places.
Well,
so
I've also seen it, you know, outdoors, like walking by a cafe,
sure.
You know, like clouds, big puffs of smoke coming out. But this term, juuling, I want to capitalize on that or talk about that because it is J-U-U-L. This has recently become really popular among college and high school campuses. So what do the Juuls look like, Amy?
Well, they look exactly like a flash drive. They're a little bit longer than a typical flash drive. They are charged. They have a little USB port and can be charged on your computer. So it took a long time, actually, for parents and teachers and schools to recognize that it really was an e-cigarette because it looks very much like just a regular flash drive. And they even have skins that are available, sort of like you put on your cell phone and other devices, you know, it's like a sticker that you put on it, and so it looks sort of fun and just like a flash drive. So this is a product that is especially concerning because it can be used in school without detection. Now, the schools are finally kind of getting wise to this and sending out advisories to parents and so forth, but, you know, just now. And the really frightening thing about this particular product is that in a pretty short period of time, they now represent as much as 70% of the e-cigarette market. So it is an enormously popular brand. I think it was introduced in 2015, but really in the past 6 months or so, it's gotten extremely popular. And they are a little bit more expensive. The starter kit is around $50, which you may think is out of reach of some kids. But I was just with some of our youth advocates in Washington, D.C. this week, and they were telling me about how kids will pool their money to buy a Juul device and the starter kit and the little pods, which contain flavors. I should point that out. That's important. They come in mango and creme brulee and fruit medley and things like that that are appealing to kids. And they will pool their resources so they can share them, and then they will sell hits of the Juul to their friends, you know, say $1 or $2 for a hit to recoup their costs. So there's a little cottage industry going on there.
Micah, why do you think these are so much more popular than the e-cigs we've seen in recent years? Is that she's talking about the portability, the flavor?
I think we're trying to figure out why it's become such a huge success. As Amy said, it's a multi-billion dollar company already. It's taken over half the market share for e-cigarettes. Part of it is it delivers nicotine much more quickly than existing products, and it resembles a cigarette in terms of its nicotine delivery profile more than any other ENDS electronic product. It really looks like smoking. And it's also can be used secretly. You can hide it in your hand, and it's become very vogue for kids in high school to show them using ENDS surreptitiously without their teachers knowing about it. So it's a combination of being sleek, technological, but you can't overlook the fact that it's delivering nicotine just like smoking, when none of the other e-cigarette products do that.
How much nicotine?
Too much nicotine, and that's the other problem. In fact, just yesterday, the company Juul announced that they were going to be offering products with reduced nicotine. Right now, a Juul pod has nicotine that's equivalent to a pack of cigarettes.
So how many, like, puffs or hits could there be?
About 200.
About 200 on a Juul pod.
This is so new, we really don't know how many hits or puffs kids or adults are taking a day. but it could well be that their nicotine exposure is higher than if they were smoking, if they used it more. The other thing to note with this is that this is the first company that's used what it's called nicotine salts as opposed to liquid nicotine. It's a different chemical structure. And it's thought that the salts, nicotine in the salt form, is more easily absorbable in the blood and gets to the brain more quickly than nicotine in a liquid form.
But that points to some of the things I've read about kids saying that they start juuling and they just can't stop. Does that quick delivery to the brain make it more addictive?
Yes, and that's why cigarettes. I mean, if you go back in time and look at the uptake in smoking among teenagers in the 70s and 80s, it was really a very few cigarettes would get someone addicted. We had kids in our surveys that we did when I was at CDC that were addicted to smoking before they graduated from high school and wanted to quit at that age. And Juul has that power to be very addicting. The company, of course, doesn't want kids to use it because it gives them a bad reputation. They would like to see it used by smokers to have them quit, but that's, as far as we can tell, not happening to the extent we'd like to see.
That's Dr. Michael Erickson. He's Dean of Public Health at Georgia State University. He spearheaded a recent study about addiction rates of e-cigarettes. Also joining us is Amy Barkley. She's a regional advocate for the Tobacco-Free Kids campaign. Well, Amy, I'm thinking that, you know, for years, public health advocates have been working on getting kids to not smoke or not even pick up in the first place from an early age. What do you think this juuling is doing to that effort?
Well, it is alarming because I know some state surveys have shown that, number one, in many states and nationally, the numbers show us that more kids are using e-cigarettes than smoking. You know, we've made some pretty good progress on reducing youth smoking over the past couple decades. And, you know, we continue to have slow and steady progress there with smoking rates continuing to go down. But at the same time, the rates of e-cigarettes are going up. So more kids are using e-cigarettes than smoking now. And as Dr. Erickson pointed out, you know, this is a very powerful, Juul in particular, but, you know, there are many different products out there that deliver nicotine pretty effectively. And we've learned that some of the kids that are using e-cigarettes are kids that say they would have never started smoking. So they look at e-cigarette use differently. And often they don't even really understand that it's a tobacco product. They say, well, there's no tobacco in here. But then they, you know, primarily nicotine comes from tobacco. But so they don't really see it the same way. And because of the marketing and because of, you know, the cool sleek technological appeal of things like Juul and the groovy looking pens and all the different flavors, you know, they're using these things thinking that it's not as bad as smoking and they're not smoking. But then once they become addicted to nicotine, we don't really know what'll happen. You know, they may turn to regular cigarettes when they have the opportunity.
Well, people like Katherine Hagel, you know, on Instagram, right. There are all these celebrities with their vaping, various different vaping machines. But how do minors get them? They don't sell them. I've seen them at storefronts, but they can't sell cigarettes to someone under 18. Can they sell Juuls?
No. The FDA requires that you have to be 18 in order to buy them or be sold them. But they are available online, and all you have to do is click a box and say that you're 18. I think a lot of retailers don't really understand the device themselves and, you know, maybe unwittingly selling them. So kids are, I know there have been some studies that have shown that over half of the kids that have bought e-cigarettes buy them from a retail store, and then another third say they also get them from social sources. So they really are very readily available. The FDA said a couple months ago that they were going to take steps to, you know, step up enforcement and do more education of retailers to make sure they're not being sold to kids, but they really need to take further action. They really need to remove the flavors, certainly, from the market. And they have the ability to do that, but they aren't doing it yet. So we've called on them to step up their action on e-cigarettes, particularly in the wake of the Juul epidemic.
But I remember, you know, back in the 80s and early 90s, clove cigarettes became kind of a thing. You know, it wasn't the regular cigarette. It was a little more sophisticated, a little different flavor. But the Obama administration actually pushed for a ban against them and menthol cigarettes, I believe. Whatever happened to that? Have those been repealed?
Well, yeah, the administration, the government banned all flavors from cigarettes except for menthol. So menthol is still available everywhere in the country, except now in San Francisco, which passed a local ordinance banning flavors of any type, including menthol, from tobacco products. So the issue with flavors is complicated. It's different around the country. Cigarettes can only be mentholated as the only flavor. But electronic cigarettes and cigarillos and little cigars, they still can have flavors. And so FDA is currently collecting data from public input as to what they should do about flavors and whether flavors have any utility in helping people quit smoking, which hasn't been shown yet. The evidence suggests that they're attractive, particularly to kids.
Yeah, clearly in your study, that also showed that people who may have picked these up to quit are not quitting. But would you advocate for e-cigarettes to be off the market, for example?
Yeah, the thing that's so interesting about our study is showing that smokers need to avoid dual use. They're continuing to smoke and using e-cigarettes at the same time. And when you do that, you don't stop smoking. You continue to smoke. And our data and other data are showing that 80 to 90% of dual users continue to smoke. People need to quit smoking. And if electronic cigarettes can help them do that, that's great. But they shouldn't do both.
Michael Erickson, he is Dean of Public Health at Georgia State University. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
And also Amy Barkley, regional advocate for the Tobacco-Free Kids campaign. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Virginia.
Now, I'm a fellow with a heart of gold, with the ways of a gentleman, I've been told, a kind of a fellow that wouldn't even harm a flea. But if me and a certain character met, the guy that invented the cigarette, I'd...